Thank you, Ursula. To be blunt with you, it's quite hard for me to get into the Christmas spirit. It's a countdown, really, of services I have to do until I can slump in front of the TV and watch the Boxing Day test from the Melbourne Cricket Ground. So there's today, and then there's a joint service with St. David's on the 21st at 7 p.m. here. So that's half a service for me, really. In the spirit of cooperation with the central grouping, we're doing this joint service. So I do encourage you to come along. It's not a competition, you know, but I do expect things from the steeple congregation, you know, when we're on display. And then there's the Christmas Day service, and then it's Christmas. And if you're not in the Christmas spirit by then you know, you've kind of missed out. So I have a couple of shortcuts to get into the Christmas spirit. One of them is perhaps substituting Baileys for milk on my Cocoa Pops. Eating only chocolate oranges from now until Christmas. The things you can do. But one of the things I like to do is watch a Christmas movie. Now, there's a lot of great ones out there. There's some classics. I'm making an awful lot of noise here. Is that normal? Is that me? No? Anyway, if I stay very still. Use the lectern mic. Right, okay. I've been hamstrung. I can't wander around. I'm muted now. So you could watch an old classic like It's a Wonderful Life, or one of the more modern classics like Die Hard. And Die Hard is a Christmas film. I have the theology degree. I am the authority on Christmas. Die Hard's a Christmas film. If someone says to you, Die Hard is not a Christmas film, do not listen to them. You do not need that negativity in your life. But one of them that I watched that became an instant classic was the 2003 Richard Curtis film, Love Actually. I don't know if you've seen that one or not. It's the story of eight couples whose lives all intertwine around Christmas in London. And each of the couples displays a different facet of what love is. There's a different expression of love in each of these couples' lives. And that's the point. The point is, love takes many forms. And the filmmaker wanted to explain that love is actually all around if you look for it. It's not just romantic or erotic love that we talk about. It can be this love between siblings that's self-sacrificial and transcends mental health issues. It could be a love that's never requited, a love that's platonic, a love that's shared simply between two friends. It's not just the overblown romantic gesture. It's not just a dozen red roses and candles and dinner. That's the point. The point is, love exists in the everyday, in the mundane routine of life. This being the fourth Sunday of Advent, it's the Love Sunday. We want to look at that. And God's concept of love in particular is what we're looking at. Now, tradition tells us that the evangelist John wrote one gospel account and three pastoral letters to the early church. And John is known as the evangelist of love because of the prevalence he gives to love in his writings. He's given us some of our most best-known expressions of love in Scripture. God is love, and those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. Beloved, let us love each other, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the most famous one of all, for God so loved the world that he gave us God's only Son. Christmas, therefore, for John, is the fullest expression of God's love for us. If God is love and God comes to us, that is the greatest expression of love that John can fathom. And that's really what lies at the heart of the Christmas story. But what does that love look like? God coming to us as Christ to bring about the kingdom of God and reconcile us to each other and back to God. That's God's love. And what it looks like is difficult to see sometimes because we've obscured it with the nativity. We've sanitized it. There's countless films on it. There's countless Christmas card images. You've been to countless school nativity plays, including one I was in where I played the third bush on the left. We know the nativity story. We've seen it 100 times before. And it's this pristine stable with this clean family gathered round and radiant shepherds and pristine wise men and wonderful gifts. But in reality, it is a messy and dirty and dangerous affair. Mary and Joseph have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because those who rule the country, those who occupy the country, need to know how much tax they're getting. So they carry a census so they know exactly how much money they should be extracting from the population. And it's not an easy walk. It's about 90 miles. There's predators, there's wild animals, and of course, Mary is 9 months pregnant. It's uncomfortable. It's dangerous. So 3 days walking constantly. They're dirty, they're tired, they're exhausted, and they get there and they're homeless because there's no place at the inn. So they have to rely on charity, and they go into this barn. It's a working barn. It's full of animals. They used to keep their animals on the ground floor of their property and they lived above it. These are people who relied on their animals for income. This is a working farm. It's not a petting zoo. It's dirty. It's smelly. It's full of excrement. And the only place they can put this child is in a feeding trough where animals stick their noses in to eat. This is dirt. The shepherds are the first to turn up. These are men who live rough in the fields for days at a time. They are the laboring class. We think the shepherds are these lovely characters, but in reality, shepherds were looked down upon. They were shiftless characters who constantly allowed their sheep to stray onto other people's land if they thought the grazing was better. They're not trustworthy people. And here they come, descending into this dirty barn. They're stinking. The animals are stinking, and they're babbling about angels. It's a dirty, messy scene, friends. The Magi don't turn up until about 2 years later. Yet we've created this image and we've sanitized it because somehow we think the truth is too much to bear. But that's the point. As real, as dirty, as messy, as horrible as it was in that stable, that's where God came to show love. Christ doesn't come to the royal palace, to the elite in Jewish society. He doesn't come to the priests in the temple. He doesn't come in Pilate's presidential palace to the ruling classes. He comes to the marginalized, the dirty, the smelly, the outcast, the tired, the poor, the ill. And that tells me that God's love is not conditional on your bank balance, on your status, on your character, on your religiosity, on your power. God's love comes to the everyday, the ordinary, the forgotten. Now, I'm not saying it's not a big gesture. It's the most important event in our history. It's Almighty God, creator of the universe, coming to the created to tell them you're loved. But it's God coming to us in the everyday, the dirt, the mess, the danger of the world, to show us that love. It's God coming to us to feed us when we're hungry, to tend us when we're sick, to welcome us when we're outcast. It's God gracing us with forgiveness when we've done so many things wrong. It's God reconciling us to one another and to God through the Spirit. God who comes to us and lives life alongside us in the everyday. That's love. It's not romantic love. It's not erotic love. It's not brotherly love. It's this all-encompassing love that just seeks the best for the other. And the beauty of it is, it's something we can imitate in our lives. You don't need endless sums of money to show love. You don't need to buy expensive presents. You don't need to have meals out. You don't need to take lavish trips to show love. You don't need a degree in theology to know what love is. You don't need a lifetime of missional experience to demonstrate love. You just have to look at how God shows love and do that. You just have to go out from this place into the dirt, into the mess, into the danger of life, and meet people where they are and show them love. Love for the other regardless of who they are. Because if we love one another, we'll have time for them. If we love one another, we'll meet them where they are without putting preconditions on that meeting. We'll love them as they are, who they are, because that's how God shows love to us. We'll welcome the stranger, extend to them the hand of friendship. We will be alongside them as they struggle. We will share the life journey with them. We will tend to them. We will forgive them. We will grace them. That's God's love. All you need this Christmas is not you, as Mariah Carey would tell us, but a heart that beats for Jesus. A heart that demands us to show love in the ordinary and the everyday. Because in God's kingdom, love is all around us. And that's the life we're called to live as Christians. God realized a long time ago, it's only love that can turn this world around. So may we who have received God's love show God's love to help build God's kingdom where we are. Amen.